I learn from my mistakes and I'm trying to do it better. And one of the things I need to do to be a better leader, CEO, is know what a CEO does. All right, my friends, the Ultimate OD Podcast, episode 200, 4 years in the making. A little recap of that. We're talking about time. How do you be the best CEO of your practice? How do you spend your time? Closing thought of the episode, this is the Ultimate OD Podcast. Here we go. All my friends, the Ultimate OD Podcast. Guess what? This is episode 200. Holy cow. 200 episodes. I was just talking to my wife about this, and we started in 2020. Every week for 4 years, we've been putting out content. That's crazy to me. It does not seem like it's been going on that long, and the Dunning-Kruger effect is real. Because when I started this in 2020, I was listening to a bunch of, like, I listened to the best podcasts, you know, their top 10 or whatnot, and it's how you find the podcast. And I'm like, I can do what they do. I can talk the way they talk. I can have these conversations. And if you listen to those early podcasts, I'm sorry if you had to suffer through that. And if you've been through, been with us all along, thank you. I appreciate you. But they were a little rough in how we learned how to create them, create content every week. It was a challenge, and it's something that I do because I love to talk optometry, and I'm so much better at speaking because of the podcast. I'm better at my business, the art of optometry, the business of optometry, because I think about it. I put that time and effort and energy into the business and how I can be better and share that with you every single week. So whether you're doing a podcast yourself or a YouTube channel or whatever you pick, know that it's not for naught and that you can get a lot of value if you dedicate time, effort, and energy to something. And that's going to lead us into what we're talking about today. But before I get into that, just thank you. Keep liking, subscribing, give us 4-star reviews, 5-star reviews. 5-star reviews is what I want. 4s I'll take, but 5s are better. It's been a blast. I plan on keeping this going. As you have seen over the past year, there's been an evolution. This is my personal journal. I sometimes think that someday my kids, if they get bored, they can see what Dad was thinking, what he was doing. When they were asleep in their rooms, Dad was up here just talking to himself. They can see what I was saying, and hopefully it makes sense down the road, and hopefully it gives them the impetus to have dedicated time to do something they enjoy. So that being said, let's get to the meat of this podcast. And we are talking about time, the most valuable asset. One of the best series I've done in my mind that helped me out was the CEO Mindset. We'll link to some of those episodes below. There's no YouTube videos for those because it was before we even had a YouTube channel. But that got me thinking about what a CEO does, okay? And as I'm in this season of change, I'm adding a doctor. I'm expanding, doubling my office size, hopefully adding another doctor. This growth mindset where I want to just add and acquire offices, okay? I had a second office, and I did it all wrong. I learn from my mistakes, and I'm trying to do it better. And one of the things I need to do to be a better leader, CEO, is know what a CEO does. And one of my friends who I was explaining the evolution to, I told him Monday through Wednesday I'm going to be seeing patients, and Thursday and Friday I'm going to be working on the office. He's like, cool, that's awesome. What are you going to do on those days you're not seeing patients? And I think that's something that every single one of us needs to take a step back and do. And I've done the exercise for my office. I really encourage you to do it for your office. When you're seeing patients 5 days a week, it is really hard to work on the things that matter. But if you could take a step back, if you could go to the office every day and you have that time that you're putting in and you're going to work. Like, think about the people that run businesses that aren't seeing patients, that just go into the office and do things. I don't know what they do, but we go into the office and we have a set schedule. We're going to be seeing patients. And a lot of times, if we're not seeing patients, if you have a free moment, you're not going to work on anything because your staff is always coming to you. Phones are ringing. It's what business is, right? But if you had time, what would you spend it on? What would you do? And one of the things I've kind of stumbled across is that a CEO worries about three main things: culture, people, and numbers. And then developing a plan to strategically grow each and every one of those. So I'm going to walk through what I want if I had all the time in the world. You know, I go in every day and I wasn't seeing patients at all. What would I work on? Okay, how would I make my office better? And each one of these things, you know, I'm going to actually make into a topic for the podcast. Because, again, when you dive deeper, when you delve into the nuances of this and really see what it looks like, you learn a lot about yourself, you learn a lot about your office, and you learn a lot about business. All right, so let's start with culture. Okay. Culture. I want my staff to be hungry. I want them to be motivated. Okay. I've done a pretty good job, I think, over the past year of whittling down what we do. You know, optical, ocular surface disease, and then ocular health and wellness. Right. Those are the things that we focus our time, effort, and energy on. If it doesn't fall into one of those three buckets, we really shouldn't be doing it. My staff knows this. Okay, but from a marketing perspective, from a patient perspective, I don't think I've done a great job of putting that out there. I don't think I've done a great job of diving into those three areas and seeing how I can set them apart, how I can let the patient know when they come to my office, this is what you need to expect. Now, the new office will help in me making that known to my patients. We'll have a bigger optical. It'll be designed better than what we have now, and it's going to be an emphasis, right? We're going to have a dedicated dry eye center that you cannot miss when you walk into the office. And then ocular health and wellness, I think that comes down to what the doctors are talking about, what we emphasize in our exam room. I look at all the things that I'm moving, you know, from supplements to dry eye products to what goes on in optical, and it mirrors almost to a T what I talk about in the exam room. Okay, so how do you make optical better? How do you make that a core of what you do? You know, a lot of you are hearing this and you're like, I don't want optical to be what I'm known for. Remember that 50 to 60% of your business is optical. Now, if you can get away from that, if that's not your culture and mindset, awesome, good for you. But it's something that I do. It's a arena I do not want to lose. Okay, so I need to make that a little bit better. When it comes to the ocular surface and dry eye space, I'm inherently just harvesting from my own patient population. I know in the core of my gut and heart that there is a population of people that need dry eye care, that want more than artificial tears and Restasis, right? I need to talk to those people. I need to market my office to those people. I need to get out to the offices that are not eye doctors, the primary care physicians, and talk to them about their diabetic patients, about the retinal specialists that are doing intravitreal injections and medical mentosa is affecting the eyes of their patients and they need help from all the drops and stuff that they're on. I want to talk to those people. I want them to send them to me. A lot of people don't like dry eye. A lot of people don't like optical. I'll take them all, right? But how do I make that known in my area? My staff has the understanding. They haven't experienced what I envision, right? I have this vision. I want to make it happen. And then ocular health and wellness, I just think it can be done better. I think with the way that ophthalmology is going and the need for primary care, that optometry is going to carry a huge load right there. So that's where I need to push the envelope. That can be better in my office, okay? Education. the culture I want is my staff to constantly be striving to get better, to learn more, to be better at what they do. Now, they are all in the sense that when I come, I tell them what they need to know. They know it. They do it. But other than me, like, good job, or this is what you have to know to be here, right? They don't have a lot of incentive. I need to give some kind of hierarchy, some kind of, ranking system, or some kind of scorecard, some kind of feedback loop. Like, you've hit this level 5 of our optician. You're a level 2 manager. I don't know what it is. I'm thinking out loud here, but I need to encourage my staff to be educated, encourage them to want to learn more. Whether they're going to conferences, they're going to the AOA website and getting trained on X, Y, or Z, working with our lab and being better opticians, knowing the materials inside and out, how can I get them to want to know more? Because I guarantee the more they know, the better we will be, right? They'll be able to talk more confidently. The same thing I was talking about this podcast, empower the staff by giving them knowledge, having them spend a dedicated time to learn what I want them to learn. Again, that needs to be developed, right? I'm asking a lot of my managers and the staff, when I'm going full bore gung-ho, they don't have time to themselves either. How do I make that happen? And then customer service, I've looked a lot into this. Every single one of us thinks we're great at customer service. I'll tell you this right now. My staff, my office can be better. I still go back to the businesses, the restaurants that I think are just go above and beyond. And like Costco is my example. Every single one of those stinking employees gives their all. They interact with me every time I go in. Now, I go in there more than I should, but they still have built a relationship. They like working there. And when I talk to some of the people I know that work at Costco, great benefits program, great pay, great hours. They take care of their staff, so their staff wants to take care of patients. Maybe I need to make the working environment better for my staff so they want to take better care of the patients. I don't know, but customer service needs to be better, and it might start with me, right? These are things that I want to really dive and delve into, and I just don't have the time right now. Give myself some time. Those are the things I'm going to work on with culture, all right? People, this is how you grow a business. You have an amazing team around you. I took 13 years to get to this point where I've delegated more than I ever thought, and I've accomplished more than I ever thought I would, because I'm not the one handling all the marketing meetings. I'm not the one implementing a new lab, a new contact lens distributor. I'm not the one ordering the frames in a new way, adding the frames. Like, I've taken myself out of the equation. I've given guidance, but it's been amazing, right? So I need to continue to empower my staff. Now, how do I do that? One, giving them more responsibilities, but showing them how to accomplish, so how to do those duties, right? You can't just say, hey, you are in charge of this and go from there. I think I could be better about giving feedback, giving more direction, helping guide them. Now, at some point, they just have to learn how to swim or learn how to fly, pick your analogy, metaphor, whatever you want to call it, like or as, simile, I don't know. But I could be better at that. And then in regards to that, I need to develop my managers to be better. I still am the one that is coming up with the ideas to bring our staff together. I'm coming up with the, hey, talk about this, emphasize that, right? They're going through the motions. They're doing it, but I'm dangling the carrot in front of them to make it happen. And I think if I gave them a better trajectory, a better goal, a better path forward, they could do it, but I haven't given them the opportunity yet. I'm still getting them to feel confident in what they're doing, to learn how to lead, but that could be expedited. I think there's a ton of things I could be doing, but again, my bandwidth is only so much. For all the things I'm trying to do, I think we've done a good job, but it can be better, right? So that's something that I'm definitely going to improve. I want my staff to have a better training protocol. I think managers and the staff need more accountability, more written down, this is what's expected, this is how we're going to help you get there, structure to that training process. As we grow and expand, I think it'll be more necessary. So those are ways I think that the people I work with can be better. The last thing I'd say to that is I have a huge staff. I have seven full-time employees, and I mean, we're doing 1.2, 1.3, maybe 1.4 this year, fingers crossed. But I think we could be more efficient in some areas, and I haven't had a time to break it down and see where that could be. So those are the things I'm going to work on in terms of people. So culture, people, and now the fun stuff in my mind, numbers. I really look forward to doing this. I think I need to know my margins better. What am I buying? What do I make when I sell this product? What are the things that move the needle in terms of what we do in the office? I told you optical, ocular surface, and ocular health and wellness. But I say that because that's what I enjoy. I think that's where the future is going. Are there areas that are more profitable within that? Can we be better in terms of our business, in terms of we don't take these insurances or we don't do these procedures? I saw one of the retina specialists in the area was bought by a private equity firm, and they want to just do injections for macular degeneration. All the retina surgeries, they're referring out to U of M, like 2 hours away. There's a private practice that will still do them, but they don't do that willy-nilly. Now, again, I'm not saying that that's the best way to do it, but when you're a numbers person and you're not a doctor and you're not thinking about patient care, you're like, what moves the needle? What do we need to do? I think we can do that for our office as well. There are things that we are doing that don't drive revenue. Now, if you have a passion for that, if you have a heart for that, that's what you want to do, I'm not telling you not to do that. That's why you're in private practice. But if you do it, you hate it, and it's not making money, what the crap are you doing? Right? Stop doing those things. Make it worth your time. One of the things that I think is, for me, was scleral lenses. It's an amazing thing that you can provide. It pays awesome, but I don't have a huge passion for it. And patients, because I didn't have a passion for it, weren't willing to do it. You sell what you believe in, right? So we're not doing that anymore. I'm referring that stuff out to someone that is more passionate, that will give them better care because they love it, right? Looking at the numbers, what moves the needle? I think in my growth strategy, right now I have an idea, right? I need to add a doctor, add another doctor in a year, and then start looking to acquire another office, right? Once I do that, we'll keep going, building, and growing. Sounds great, but how do the numbers stack up? What do I have to be doing to justify that? What does my net have to be to make it actually feasible so I'm making profit when I do these things, right? I can't answer that right now with where I'm at. What do the numbers need to look like when I acquire an office? What am I buying? These are all things I can educate myself on, I can be better at, and have a better plan, okay? So those are the things that I think we need to spend our time on. All the things I've listed, we should be doing right now, right? You aren't going to do all those things. I can't do all those things. But from that list that I have right there, even right now, 1 to 3, I need to pick out and say, the rest of the year, this is what we need to focus on, right? To make my managers more effective, I would pick 3 of them. Now, I can step back and say, hey, I'm doing all these other things. We have other things we got to focus on. We're just going to maintain and go, right? And that's what we fall victim to. All of us don't come up with a strategic 3-part plan or 1-part plan. We basically have a bunch of things out in the air. We're like, we're going to continue to do a little bit here and there, because we're so busy, we can't commit to any of them, but we have to keep moving forward. We got to keep seeing patients. And that's why I don't think our offices grow as much as they possibly could, because we're not doing the things necessary. We're not dedicating the time to have them grow like we want. All of us know what we should be doing. And even if you don't know what you should be doing, you know what you shouldn't be, right? But we do it because it's the routine. We're like, we'll start tomorrow. Well, let's start today. These are the things that you need to look at in your office. Leave a comment below. Send me a message. What are the things that you're going to work on this next year? How are you going to be the CEO of your practice and actually work on the business rather than it? That's what I have for you. We'll have more for you next week. Where, oh, where has the time gone? We are to the closing thought of the episode, and I'm going to leave you with this quote. I'm going to build up the quote because I want the quote to be the last thing you hear. But as you look at all the things you're going to do, all the things you want, all the things you tell your friends, your peers, yourself that you're going to do, I need you to remember this. Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that what you now have was once among the things you only hoped for. Think about that. The things we have now were once the things we really, really, really wanted, we desired, we longed for. And now that we have them, we're ruining it by wanting more. And I'm not saying don't be ambitious, don't be motivated, but take a look around you, look at your office, your family, your house, your home, where you're at in your academic career, and I guarantee there's an army of people that would love to be where you're at. Just acknowledge that, be thankful. That's what I have for you. Dr. Lily out.